This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, afternoon, Mike. Summer, finally, in the city.
Oh, yeah, summer, finally. You can go away as far as I'm concerned. Anything over 85 should be illegal.
Well, you're okay. You got a point there, but 91
unless,
inside
unless
is not bad.
You want to go swimming.
Well,
if you want to go swimming, it can go to 90.
Okay.
All right.
Skinny dipping?
Whatever.
It didn't matter.
Whatever. Whoever arrests you first, you're dead.
This is true, and I would be.
Yes. Well, I want to thank you for listening, if you are. And this is a show of hints, ideas, suggestions, and things like that. And I've done many years of the topics I speak about, and I've made many, many mistakes along the way and learned from those mistakes. So the info I give you now is pretty much foolproof. It'll work if you follow instructions, and that's what I try to base the show on.
I think I followed instructions there.
You finally, after the third time, he dug up a plant and gave it to me, and now the third time this one's living because he actually put it in soil and watered it.
It's that vine from whatever you call it.
I don't know. I can't tell because it's so small, but once I repot it and see what it does, it might. Did you ever see it flower?
No. No.
Okay. But I'll try to identify it.
Cool.
It might be from Asia or somewhere. Who knows?
China.
Maybe. But anyway, if you have questions, you can interrupt whatever I'm speaking about and ask your question. And all you have to do is call 673-4464, and we'll get you right in here. And you can ask your question, and I won't scream, I won't yell, I won't holler or anything like that. I might be a little sarcastic, but that's about it.
So. Yeah, he gives me the sign to hang up.
I don't want to talk to him. No, I don't ever do that.
No, he hasn't done
that. He's lying through his teeth.
I am.
You know, several months ago, we had a horrific windstorm hit our roof at our nursery and blew the front half of it into the back part of the nursery.
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, it took because of supply issues, et cetera, it took about 3 months to finally get the new roof on.
Oh, geez.
And now the new roof is on.
Yay.
Yeah, finally. And, but now we have to repaint the interior of the building because there are a few cracks that came when the incident happened.
Yeah.
And it's all covered by insurance, thankfully. And so for the painting, we are going to be closed for 2 days.
Uh-oh.
And that would be Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th. We will be closed. You might see my rig or somebody else's rig there, but the retail part of it will be closed on Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th because of the painting of the interior. And I don't think you'd want to walk in there while there's spraying paint all over the
probably
place.
Probably not.
Hard to breathe, and then you get it on your shirt, and then you're really...
Will it be the same color?
No, we're going to paint it kind of a light, pale gray. It's light green right now.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want that in my office. My office and my brother's office are upstairs. And I said, don't paint my office. I like it green.
All right.
So the rest of it will paint. And, it's going to kind of be a shiny look to it. It'll lighten up the building.
Nice.
We got huge windows all around. It's got lots of light, but I don't know. That's my wife's thing, you know.
A little remodeling never hurt.
Yeah. It'll be a different look. Oh, good. Cool. Anyway, again, thanks for listening. Questions at 673-4464. And I'll give you some information that might be useful to you. You never know. And I don't cover every subject I can in an hour, but over the year, I try to hit as many different subjects and things that, you know, sometimes I talk about plants that don't even grow here except indoors. And I did that a few weeks ago. I talked about some indoor plants. But there's so much to talk about in the plant world. I mean, you could go on and on and on. And you ought to see my library of plant books and you know, things and where the plants came from, the history of plants, the history of landscaping, all that kind of stuff. There was some rich guys way back in, I don't know, Europe and other places, way back when. They landscaped their castles and they did all kinds of stuff. I mean, that was their thing. They wanted their places to be beautiful. So anyway, it's been around. So for today's message, you know, there's a myth about the care of a lot of plants, and that is you need to water newly planted plants, shrubs, trees, whatever, every day when you plant them. And how many times have I said, don't overwater? Yep. I lost track of it. But, you know, some folks automatically who have never done any gardening or planted any plants and they're newbies to the plant world and they pick out some nice plants for their nice new yard or nice new home. And oftentimes where people shop at box stores, for instance, they don't get a lot of information. Whereas at a nursery like what we have, when people buy things, we ask, do you have any questions on how to plant or how to fertilize or how to water? You know, those are standard questions. And it starts a conversation and people say this, this, and this. And you say, well, that part's right, but this part you need to do this, this, and this. Yeah. And that gives them a good basis for success when they actually do it. You know, what kind of soil do I need? How often do I water? Do I fertilize it in, you know, when I plant it? You know, a lot of myths and wives' tales, I guess, would say, are out there about how to plant this and how to do that and how to water that. But when, you know, I've been in this profession 50 plus years, pretty much. And
give or take a day.
And I planted my first apple tree, I think I was 7 or 8, but and so add another 30 years or 20 years. But at any rate, if you do it right and you do it with thought of what the plant needs, and if you ask questions when you purchase things and try to get some information, you're going to have great success. And there's no sense in buying a $10 plant or a $30 tree or something like that. Take it home and just dig a hole, stick it in, cover it up with dirt, and start watering it every day, because that thing's going to last maybe 10 days, 15 days, you know, before it totally croaks, because too much water rots the roots. And even Dale remembers me saying that once or twice.
Oh, yeah. I didn't give it too much water there.
No, this one, this little plant you gave me, how you took it with the roots, it needed that, because the root system is so small. And as you said, some of these leaves already kind of perked up a little bit since you got it. So that's a good sign. that's a good sign.
Yeah, I thought it was going to die. And I thought, well, look at this. This afternoon's good for it.
Whoa, okay. Okay. So, newly planted shrubs and trees, and I know I've said this a lot, but we're in the summer season. It's getting hotter every day, and there are still people coming in buying things, and you have to know how to do it so you can have success for the money that you spent. And you know, things are not cheap anymore. Nothing is cheap, it seems, and you know, things that we buy from growers, the prices have increased, and so consequently we have to increase our price on just about every commodity that we handle.
You have to share that.
I know, it's crazy. Well, when you plant them and you water them too much, it's going to kill them quickly. That's it. That's all it is to it. And too much water again suffocates the roots. In other words, the roots need oxygen in order to grow, in order to send food up through the plant where it can manufacture food from carbohydrates, etc., etc., etc. And if there's no roots to push up the nutrition, that means the leaves are starving to death, and consequently the plant starves to death, no matter what it is. And when the roots are soaked, like with no oxygen, they'll rot very quickly. I mean, there's no function by being able to, they'll just not function by not being able to grab the root nutrients from the soil and send them up. So damp is good. Occasional water is good. Occasional, maybe being depending on your soil, the temperature of the summer or fall or spring, whatever. It's all has some bearing. It's not one size fits all. It's every plant is different. Every site, every yard is different. Different type of soil and
climate.
Climate, exactly. There are many climates. You know, even within Roseburg, there are many climates. And and like, what's that nice old section across the river?
Laurelwood.
Laurelwood, yeah. That's been there for 100 years or whatever.
At least.
And they got these big, beautiful oak trees and madrones and fir trees. Yeah. And there are a lot of shade in that neighborhood. So if you went from this parking lot where it was 900 degrees, I think, when I walked in, and went over to Laurelwood right now and stood in Laurelwood, I'll bet you the temperature would be 3 or 4 degrees less. Simply because of all the shade.
And the river's kind of
right. The river has a cooling effect as well.
Yeah.
So all those kinds of things have to be taken into account when you're landscaping or buying, selecting plants or planting those plants. It's all connected. And if you don't connect the dots, you're not going to have success. If you don't try to learn what that plant needs or what that tree needs, it's not going to work for you.
I like to find out what that doesn't need.
Well, I know. This is your experiment that you have given me, this little tiny weed-looking thing that says, what'd you say, how much did it grow?
Oh, well, that was just a little thing like that last week.
Okay, but in 4 months' time.
Oh, Lord have mercy, it'd be up on your roof.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why I got to find out what it is. It might be the best climbing plant in the world right here.
I don't know. I think it is.
it probably is. Oh, gosh. So, if you're overwatering, how do you tell you're overwatering? Well, you feel the soil feels really wet. Stop it. That's the easiest way. But your first indicators, your first sign of overwater is that the tips of the leaves start to curl and turn brown. And, 75% of the time at least, when people tell me that, they said, well, it was turning brown and it was curling up, so I thought it needed more water.
Oh,
and
no.
Just the opposite is the case. And then I explain what I just said here in the last 10 minutes, and they get it. And if you take steps to stop, they're not addicted to water, so stop it, and let them dry out a little bit, they can recoup on their own. Because, like I said, if it's saturated, those hair roots, which are big, they call them hair roots because they're as thin as hair, those are the roots that gather the nutrition from the soil. They pass it into the larger roots, and then that is passed up into the tree, into the leaves, and that's how growth occurs.
Nice.
That's the simplest way. I mean, I could give you a lot of scientific jargon there, but I boiled it down to where people could actually understand it.
Let's keep it simple.
Let's keep it simple, stupid. You know, come on.
It's the economy.
Yeah, it's the economy. I've heard that somewhere. I don't know. I've heard some other things, too, but this is not a political show.
it is. Kyle's not here.
I've been warned. So you want to let the plant dry out for a week or more and then feel the soil again. And if it hasn't turned totally brown, you're okay. But even if the leaves do turn brown, all you have to do is scratch the stem of the plant, one of the bigger stems of the plant, with your fingernail or pocket knife if you don't have fingernails. And if it's green underneath the bark, the plant will live. Hmm. If you scrape it and it's just kind of brittle and brown, it ain't going to live. It's pretty much toast.
It's gone.
Yeah, so you might as well start over and get a new one. But
is this a good time for a break?
Yeah, take a break.
All right. More on plants.
We're going to talk more on plants. Very good.
The Plant Man.
Dale, you kept up.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, obviously we're back.
We are back. And if you didn't tune in right away, I made an announcement that the nursery will be closed due to interior painting on Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th. So don't come because we won't be there. I might be there, but I'm not going in while they're painting, I'll tell you that.
Are you going up to Portland on July 30th?
For what?
The yearly naked bicycle ride?
Not hardly. No.
I just thought I'd throw in a plug.
Oh, yeah, right. You ruined my whole show. I'm not one of them. Okay, I'm talking about rotting plants and killing them before the first week's up. But if you use a potting mix to plant in, and which is good, and I recommend it. And a potting mix could be something that you buy in a bag. It could be sand and bark mulch mixed together with a little bit of peat moss. It could be anything that drains quickly. But, as we all know, or we should all know, the basis of Douglas County soil is clay.
Yeah.
And clay doesn't drain worth a darn. And so even if you dig a big hole and to plant whatever you're going to plant, and you put the good stuff in, right below the good stuff is that hard pan clay. So that's oftentimes what stops the drainage. And you think, well, I watered it 10 days ago. I'll just give it another shot of water. More than likely, that clay is still wet below it. Mm. And if that builds up, then it gets into your potting mix. So you just have to be super careful. You have to, you know, pay attention to your soil drainage and your soil makeup and those kinds of things. So
yeah.
That's really important. one way to avoid this problem is to, overdig the planting hole. But how big do you want to dig? I mean, you know.
How far do you want to go?
That's right. So that, you know, any of the excess water can drain away from the roots. And if you plant a tree that the root mass, when you take it out of the pot, the root mass, say, is 2 feet tall and 2 feet wide. And well, if you dig your hole 3 feet deep, you're going to have a foot of good stuff underneath your root system, and if you mound the tree up or the shrub up a little bit, that adds more depth to it. So the probability that you're going to kill it by overwatering diminishes quickly.
It drains better.
It drains better, yeah. And if the clay stops the water and begins to pool it up, that's okay because the roots are still 6 or 8 inches above it. So it's not a detriment to the plant.
Yep.
Okay, so that's real simple, and I know it takes a lot of work to do. If you got really bad soil and you're digging in and it's taking a pick and an axe and a crowbar to get the soil out,
ouch!
You're going, I don't want to do this. I'm gonna make that hole that big. That guy's crazy on the radio. Yeah. So don't stick with it, even if it takes 2 days to do it. Just stick with it, and you'll be you'll be okay.
Two days and two broken shovels.
Yeah, and a broken crowbar. But, I mentioned it really quickly, another way to combat this is to mound anything you plant. I mean, don't even dig a hole, but put some topsoil in there and build a 2 foot tall mound by, let's say you want to have a nice display of something in your front yard. Maybe you build a mound that's 2 feet deep above the ground and maybe 8 or 10 feet long and 4 or 5 feet wide, and then you could put a tree in the center of that, and then with smaller plants flanking that, that's a perfect set of conditions, and basically you can't overwater it that way. It's good.
Nice.
Yeah. And the first year is the most critical. You know, once it goes through that first growing season, it's established. And so the second year, it's going to take less watering anyway, and because it doesn't need it, most of them, because we have always seem to have a wet enough winter to where the ground is, you know, good and wet for months, and that's okay. And the only time, and the reason I'm talking about all this now is because it's July, August, you know, the hottest part of the year, and people have a tendency to go out there and water those plants again,
Yeah.
And you just got to just back off and do a little bit of digging around and see what they really need before you start pouring the juice.
It's kind of like human nature. It's hot. Gotta have water.
Oh, yeah, because I go through bottles of water as I'm driving around from project to project.
Right.
And I'm drinking bottles of water, and then I got to find a place to relieve that water.
Yes.
You know.
In the Umpqua?
No. In a rest area, Dale. Oh, golly. But, you know, once, you know, after your first year, of course, you know, the root system is established and less frequent watering is necessary and needed because it's pretty well in the ground and going for a good life at that time. And for a tree, you know, that's been in the ground a year, but you think, well, another hot summer comes along, you can water it every 7 to 10 days, maybe, with no ill effects in the middle of June, July, and August, and even, in, like I say, into September. That will keep it pretty good. But in the second year or even the third year, less frequent watering is all that, you know, once every 3 weeks, once a month, whatever. Some of my trees been in, oh gosh, you know, years, and I don't even water some of them. They're still looking good. They're rooted in. They're established.
Yeah.
But the newer ones, a year or so, you know, once a week I give them a shot. That's good enough.
They're little babies yet.
Yeah. Well, they're juveniles.
Juveniles.
Yeah. And they're not quite adolescent. So, but they're learning. You know.
Yeah.
But once you do this, once you start paying attention to the drainage, the soil types, the watering frequency, the fertilization frequency, and that kind of thing, you'll see the reaction from the trees, from the shrubs. You know, you'll see it, and you'll just get the feel for it. And that feel for it is basically the same for just about any plant, excluding hanging baskets that need a lot of water because they're up in the air and they've got a you know, one pot, 12-inch pot where the roots are, the water evaporates fairly quickly in that.
Yeah.
So they need a little bit more. They need a little bit more care. And then maybe ground covers or maybe petunias and geraniums, things like that, that their root system is not as large or as established as a regular shrub. Or a tree or something like that. They have a much smaller root system, so they may require a little bit more water. But again, it's your yard. You live there. You need to feel and get the sense of what's
right.
going on. You
yeah.
just can't dig a hole, stick it in, and call it good. It won't work.
Hear that, Dad?
Is Dad listening? Louise, man. So, and like I say, after a while, you're going to see the results of your handiwork and the knowledge that you've gained, and it's good. And the same goes for fertilizing. You know, there's some folks who, well, we just give it some fertilizer, and that'll make it grow faster.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, or it could kill it, one of the two.
No in between.
Yeah. So, you know, when you put your new plants in, don't fertilize them. Don't fertilize them for a while, you know, a month maybe.
Let them get used to it.
Yeah, get
the surrounding or whatever.
Know, go, and then when you do, say a month goes by, and
yeah.
and they're growing, and you watered them, and they're still alive, and it's a month, and I go, wow, I'm a success. I listen to Mike, and you want to give them a little fertilizer. Get the correct fertilizer. There's fertilizer for shrubs. There's fertilizer for ground covers. There's fertilizer for lawns. There's fertilizer for hanging baskets. Read the labels. Look and see yeah. what you get. You go to the co-op or, you know, Lowe's or whatever. Read the labels and see what it says. Educate yourself on, is this good or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do, let's say the recommendations are 2 tablespoons per every foot of height or something like that. Cut that in half. And when you spread it around the bottom of the plant,
yeah.
don't get it close to the stem. If you put fertilizer granulars up against the stem,
uh-huh.
it's too hot. It'll, you know, hold fertilizer in your hand for a few minutes and see what happens.
It burns.
Well, when you throw it under your plant and it's up against the main stem, it burns and it will kill the plant if it's there long enough. So, you know, put it out on the drip system. I mean, you know, where the water would come off
yeah.
the edges of the plants. Put them out there because that's where the feeder roots are anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And do it lightly. And if you do it lightly, you see good results, you can do it lightly again. Just, it's not a once a year, let's throw this handful on that thing and see what happens. No, just go lightly and pay attention to the results. Check on your plants. I do. I walk around my place every night, for crying out loud, and I look at the trees, I look at the shrubs, and I'm so used to looking at them all, I can, you know, a bad branch or something pops out like a searchlight. I mean, that's it. And wow, what's that? And go over and you start looking, and you find out that a squirrel was nibbling on the bark or something, and that one branch is no good, so you cut that off. And if you see the squirrel, you stomp him to death.
Shotgun.
And not on purpose. I mean, if they leave me alone, I leave them alone.
That's right.
For crying out loud.
I mean, that's my philosophy.
Yeah, don't mess with me and we're okay. So if when you're on that fertilizing program, your plants have been in, say, over a winter, and it's going to be spring in, you know, a few weeks or so, and things are coming out of dormancy, well, you know, what's a good program? Well, you know, in the spring, be in April, March or April, depending on the weather, you know, you could give them a little bit of fertilizer at that point. And then, you know, we go along and maybe June a little bit more. And then I always fertilize in October and November. The plant doesn't need it, but what happens is that the fertilizer goes down into the root systems, and the root systems will actually store it because they're not growing, but they'll actually store the nutrients in the roots. And then the following spring, when things start to wake up, they release it's fertilized.
It feels good.
So they're kind of in hibernation, but they've got a couple of salmon there to eat when they wake up.
There you go.
How's that for an analogy? Yeah. Oh gosh. But like I say, don't overdo it. Just always go light. You can always add more. What are you doing?
We can go for a break.
Okay, we'll go for a break, Bob.
All righty. News Radio 93.9 FM. And 1240 KQEN.
You work here, huh?
I think so. Probably not for long.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Had a good afternoon. Look at that. 93 degrees now.
Oh, is that all? Gee whiz. How cold.
We're freezing in here.
Yeah, we're freezing. No, we can breathe at least. One more time, I'm going to make this announcement. I might make it one more time after this, too. But
okay.
The nursery will be closed Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th because we are repainting the interior of our building. And it would not be good for you to walk around and suck in paint fumes and bump into ladders and scaffolding and all
not
that kind
good.
Of stuff. So. But shortly after that, we'll be back in gear. So,
are we taking phone calls yet, Mike?
I don't know. We haven't taken one. 673-4464. I guess everybody's bored, asleep, or swimming. Or boating.
Oh, yeah, or all three, or whatever.
Or picnicking.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, you know, you got transistor radios, don't they? Or what do you call those things? iPhone stuff, you know? I don't have an iPhone.
I remember those transistor radios, though.
I have a flip phone.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
We're up to date.
Yeah, we're really here. Oh, the plants don't care.
No.
So now I'm going to reverse a little bit here because I'm going to talk about potted plants. Are a whole different story because the root system is contained in a pot and can't spread out or go deeper, so consequently you really have to be careful both over and under watering on potted plants. You know, like you got a patio or a deck or whatever, and you've got several potted plants with flowers or tomatoes or, you know, a Japanese maple, whatever. Each one is going to require a different type of watering. But in a potted plant, usually you have real good potting soil, so it drains fairly quickly. And if it's a small pot, it'll probably have to be watered, you know, in the summer, it's outside, maybe, you know, 2-3 times a week at least. because it drains so quickly. And the bigger the pot, the more water you put in it, and the less, again, the less regularity you have to use in watering. But again, potted plants are easy because they're right there. You can feel the soil. Hey, it's good. It's damp. It's okay. But if you feel down there 2 inches, like I say, and it's bone dry, give it a good shot of water. A good shot might be a half a gallon, for crying out loud. Depends on the size of the pot. But and then hanging baskets, of course, we water our hanging baskets in the nursery every day because they drain so quickly. And they're flowering all the time, and so consequently they've got to have that moisture to continue their flowering process, etc. Or, you know, somebody comes to buy a hanging basket and has no flowers on it, they don't buy it. It's real simple.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I thought so. But so when it's really hot, hanging baskets, hey, water them every day. You know, and they're going to drain quickly. Ours, as soon as we put water in them for, you know, say 20 seconds, it starts coming out of the drain holes on the bottom. We know, hey, that's enough. That's enough for today. And maybe we'll skip a day. But they're in the shade too, so they're not getting the direct the sunlight. In your yard, it might be a different story. So, just like I say, it's a learned thing.
Yeah.
They require fast draining soil, and so water needs to drain quickly. And again, feel the soil, and it'll do good, especially after. Oh gosh, a year in the pot, and you were successful. Then you really got it down. You can tell you'll be so familiar with the plant. You can look at it and say, "Huh, that thing needs water."
No, that name is Martha. That one's over there is George.
George, you need a drink. George will wiggle his branch at you. That means he needs a drink. So. And it also, of course, depends on the type of plant. There are desert types like junipers that are dryland plants. They're not going to need as much, and they're okay. And then, and people think, oh, Japanese maples are so sweet and tender, and they're so fragile. Wrong. They're some of the toughest plants you ever want to see. They don't.
Wow.
They need water, but they don't need a lot. And they'll keep on going.
Kind of like cactus.
Not quite as bad as cactus, but more like. Well, they're in between, say, a juniper and a regular shrub.
Jade plant.
Yeah, and it's good to, again, just familiarize yourself with them and try. Now the pots of flowers, like I say, will need more frequent watering because they're shallow rooted and they'll dry quickly and they're usually in the full sun, but. But you could put a tomato plant in a pot and grow it very successfully, and we've done it just on purpose, just to see what would happen. And we got a bag of tomatoes off them things in a pot. And you think, well, it's not going to put out very many tomatoes. Wrong, it does.
It puts
out a lot of them. So that's just a quickie review of summertime watering, and I repeat that at least once or twice every summer, so that people really get the feel for. And if you're listening, if you're not listening, you're losing out. But if you're listening, you're very a lot wiser than you were, and you can see the difference in your plants when you apply proper growing technique, i.e. fertilizing, watering, pruning, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you get the big bang for the buck. It's that simple. And your yard is beautiful. It's that simple, too. So, lawns. Lawns again, yeah. Well, this time of year, if you drive around, you can see some pretty brown lawns.
Well, yeah.
And you can see, as I drive around, I see people pumping water in midday on these dry brown lawns. And I'm going, what in the world?
No.
It's a waste of water. It's a waste of water. And there's the lawn, yes, it needs water. But what it needs to first is probably to be thatched, which means raking all the dead grass out, and aerated, which means pulling plugs of soil out of the soil. And I've said this 100 times, for crying out loud. And then fertilizing it consistently with a top grade fertilizer, and then really watering deeply in the early morning or the late evening, 2 or 3 times a week at the most. The 10-minute watering during the heat of the day does nothing. It doesn't help your plants. It burns them up and they die because the water doesn't even get into the root system.
And it's a waste of money.
A waste of money, and water probably will, it'll go up like every other commodity.
End up in China.
Yeah, all the water went to China. What the heck? What do we do now? But lawns, you know, believe it or not, grass root systems will go down, some of them a foot, some of them 2 feet, depends on the type of grass. Huh. And but regular lawn grasses, you know, they're down 6-8 inches on the root system. So you want to get the water down into the root system. Watering the top of the grass does nothing. I mean, if, like I say, and I've said in the past, you see places on Garden Valley Boulevard, Harvard, you know, a little store or something, they got a planter out front and it's got a little bit of grass. I mean, Dutch Brothers over in Garden Valley, they got that patch of grass out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get my coffee there every morning and I look at the grass and I think, well, when are they going to understand? You don't do it that way. Of course, Dutch Brothers, that's not their project, but whoever's taking care of it works for them all. And they need to know this stuff. Because they're watering at 2 p.m. and 50% of the water is being evaporated into the sky before it ever hits the ground.
When it's 93 degrees.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Wait, do it in the early morning when there's no sun, or in the evening when the sun has gone down. You know, it's still cool.
It's a simple philosophy.
It's still warm, but the water is not evaporating at the rate it would in full sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, it gets down into the root system where it does the most good. Bad thing. Oh, there's a lot of bad things.
Are we going to talk about grubs again?
Oh, yeah, grubs. The grubs are at it. I've seen them. They're already starting big time. Well, they probably started earlier. We just didn't see them. Yeah. Those grubs. They'll eat a lawn, and it's so quick you would think it was green when I left for work this morning. How come it's all brown this afternoon when I got home?
So if you burned your lawn, would that get rid of them?
Burned it? You mean like burned it with fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it would
kill the grass, too.
Kill the grass, kill the grubs, and then what are you going to do, Bubba? No, there are simple ways. There are ways.
So don't burn your lawn.
Yeah, don't listen to Dale, please. He's got the weirdest lawn in Sutherland, I think.
I do.
I know. But lawns need a long soak. And a long soak might be a half an hour. It depends on your soil. It might be 45 minutes. It might be an hour. But that's good for 3-4 days at least, especially if you have aerated, in other words, pulled plugs of soil out so the water and the fertilizer can actually penetrate the hard clay that you planted your lawn in 10 years ago and get down there into the root system where it does the most good.
Mm-hmm.
And thatching, as I mentioned earlier, that's like I say, combing the dead grass out. You wouldn't believe in a mature lawn that's been in 10, 15 years, whatever, and you water, and you still got brown spots. You've got, kind of green, but more brown than green. And there's green in between and all that. And you go, what the heck? I fertilized it. What's happening? Well, if you water or fertilize a lawn that's full of thatch, it doesn't penetrate the thatch. And when you think of thatch in your lawn, think of the tropics where people actually live in thatched roofs. And the reason they have roofs made out of thatch is because it repels the water in the tropics. It runs off. So consequently, your lawn is experiencing the same thing if it's full of thatch. You're watering and watering, mm-hmm. but it's not penetrating. It's not getting down to the root system where it needs it. So it continues to stay brown.
And Lord knows there's monsoon rains there in the tropics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been in Guatemala, and I've been in villages. Every roof in the village is thatch. And when it rains, baby, it rains. And it comes down. And it might only last 20 minutes or half an hour, and then it's blue skies again. But in the interim, you're inside this thatched hut, mm-hmm. house, whatever. And the water's running off. It's not penetrating the thatch. And they use their thatch is made out of palm tree branches. And they lay them up there.
Yeah.
And they have their their particular way of doing that. And I've watched some of it. And it's quite interesting and intriguing how they do it. And
it works. There's probably an art to it.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely true. We got a break?
We do.
Okay. I'll be back.
All righty. We'll be back, as Mike has already said, on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we were just discussing that new half shell or band shell or whatever.
But this is not the band shell show.
No, it isn't. Nice going with the colors, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I had to go up there the other day to get I got a load of camellias from a grower up there. And I drove in and went, oh, look at that. It looked good. Fit well in the park. They did a good job. Whoever designed it and put it in, I think that's a useful thing for a park.
It might be. It seems to be.
Yeah. So, I'm still talking about lawns, so
okay.
hold on to your chair. Don't run away and turn off the radio yet. Okay, here's another hint for you. If your lawn is kind of looking peaked, quit cutting it so short. Mm-hmm. Every time you cut it short, you think, well, I won't have to mow for 2 weeks.
That's right.
But the problem in cutting it short is it's hot. And you cut it short, and the little short grasses burn real good on a 94 degree day with the sun shining on it, and then you try to water it, and it doesn't do you any good. So quit cutting it too short. And it also, when you cut a lawn very short, it promotes weed growth.
Uh-oh.
Yes, that's the weeds go, wow, I got a spot. I'm not fighting all this grass. And up pops one of these weird weeds. Like
dandelions
dandelions are a flower, man.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought they were a weed.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, but they're beautiful. What the heck?
Well, they are pretty when they...
Yeah, it depends on your point of view.
That's
sir.
True. You know you could smoke those things?
No, I have never tried.
I haven't either, but I've just heard.
Oh, gosh. Don't listen to the internet. But, you know, it burns the grass. It promotes more weeds. So grass that is a little long stays greener longer and will keep weeds to a minimum. And it might look a little shaggy in your yard, but when you mow it at the highest setting. It'll look neat and clean and still be green. What do you think of that?
Ooh.
And when you water, the water will actually penetrate down into the soil and get into the root system, too. When you cut it short, scalp it, if you will, and then you pump the water to it, if you look at it closely, you'll see that most of the water did not penetrate. It's still kind of pooling up on top.
Yeah.
Eventually, some of it will get down, but you're pushing a wheelbarrow full of rocks uphill every time you do that because it's not going to improve. And when it does improve, say October, we have a couple of rains and into November, all of a sudden the grass is green again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't mess with it. It was able to grow a little bit and it's cooler now and it's getting the right amount of moisture. So consequently it greens up and grows. It doesn't want to die. It's going to push to grow. But if in 94 degree days or 98 degree days and you're out there scalping your lawn because you don't want to do it too often or you think that that's the way my dad did it, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
consequently, you that's when you get all these problems with your lawn. So keep it a little bit longer. It'll be okay. It's a little shaggy. So what? If the neighbors don't like it, tell them not to look. It's simple as that. It's my lawn. I'll do what I want. But, yeah, and it's not against the law either. What do you think of that?
We got a phone call.
Pardon?
We got a call.
Whoa, a phone call, finally.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, I have a question about a pruned tree that had a large branch come off it. I think it was during either the Armageddon that we had or the windstorm. And so it's like 5-6 inches in diameter. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if we should have painted that.
Yeah, it would help. Is it an upright or a side branch? Is it growing sideways or a lateral? Or is it one of the main?
Yeah, kind of sideways.
Okay,
yeah. It's sideways.
Is it, when it broke, did you cut it cleanly off so it's got a clean cut?
Well, the way it fell off, it kind of ripped down the trunk slightly.
Okay.
It's not a real great cut, no.
Okay. Well, how much bark came off the trunk? Would you say a foot or?
Quite a bit. I mean, and we've noticed, like, the last few months, you see bark on the ground. Like, mm-hmm. it's maybe dying or something. It doesn't look dead. It's a Japanese maple.
Oh.
It's pretty big. It's like 25 years old.
Wow. Well, I would get some tree seal paint. You know, you go to the co-op or a hardware store, wherever's closest to you, and get some tree seal, and it's usually black in color. And go ahead and paint. Just take a brush and paint that stuff on really thick wherever it's wounded, and that will keep any bugs and fungus from getting in under the bark and destroying the rest of the tree.
Okay, because let me tell you, and I don't think it worked very well. My husband used spray white paint, and it hardly even stuck, and he thinks he should put more coats on, and I don't think he should.
No.
So you're saying a black tree seal.
Yes. Okay. It'll say tree seal right on the can. It'll be a green can, and it'll say tree seal or, you know, for wounded broken branches or whatever, and that's what you use. It's tar-like almost. It's not just a spray paint.
Yeah.
It has more thickness and body to it.
Yeah, that's what I thought it should have. Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty. That is probably...
Are we wrapped up?
Almost. We got like 30, 40 seconds.
40 seconds. Well, I can speak real slow, you know. okay, one last time. Our nursery will be closed on Friday the 29th and Saturday the 30th because we are repainting our interior from the wind damage that we had when our roof flew off, and so we're getting that all squared away. So we don't want you to get paint on you, and you can take a couple days off.
That's 29th and 30th, right?
Yes, it is. And thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I did. I always do.
Yeah, we always have a good time, don't
we? Yeah, we do. Yeah, you ought to hear us in during the commercial breaks.
It's even... Oh, okay. All right. See you next week.
Okay. Well, I'll be here.
We'll get an update on my vine.
Oh, yeah. I hope it doesn't die before I get it home.
And this weather. All right. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.